Congress quail team heads for the Deep South. The president ends the convention with a pledge to cut taxes. Clinton says it won't wash. Good morning. This is Doug Poling with the CBS World News Roundup.
The convention gives us now a great lift as we take the battle to the opposition.
So said President Bush to Republican staffers in Houston this morning. The 1992 GOP convention is history. It ended last night with a rousing acceptance speech, but at one point, the president sounded more like he was in the confessional.
It was a mistake to go along with the Democratic tax increase, and I admit it. But here's the question for the American people. Who do you trust in this election? The candidate who's raised taxes one time and regrets it, or the other candidate who raised taxes and fees 128 times and enjoyed it every time?
This is Bill Lynch.
The flag-waving Republican faithful jammed the Astrodome to forgive a repentant George Bush for breaking his 1988 no new tax pledge and to cheer a new promise to seek tax cuts.
When the new Congress convenes next January, I'll propose to further reduce taxes across the board, provided we pay for these cuts with specific spending reductions that I consider appropriate so that we do not increase the deficit.
In a speech largely crafted by a veteran Nixon wordsmith, Mr. Bush charged Bill Clinton with proposing the biggest tax increase in American history.
He says he wants to tax the rich. But folks, he defines rich as anyone who has a job.
As for his own lack of a domestic policy triumph, the president blamed Congress.
Our policies have not failed. They haven't even been tried.
Electing Bill Clinton, said Mr. Bush, would revive the days of 1970s malaise.
America does not need Carter II.
He also milked the trust issue, attacking Clinton's early Gulf War waffle. While I was biting the bullet, he said, Clinton was biting his nails.
Sounds to me like his policy can be summed up by a road sign he's probably seen on his bus tour, slippery when wet.
But the best laugh line of the night belonged to Vice President Quayle.
For more than a month, the media have been telling us that Bill Clinton and Al Gore are moderates. If they're moderates, then I'm a world champion speller.
Party leaders, pleased with new polls showing a narrowing race, expect a knockdown, drag-out fight to November 3rd. Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson.
This is called a surge. And get out of the way. And they won't get George Bush unless they hit him with a 2x4.
Delegates liked the Bush tax policy and headed home with new vigor.
This is David Dow. It was just about what most delegates hoped for, a hard-hitting battle plan with some economic promises. Ralph Piscara thought it would play well back home in San Diego with its worried aerospace industry.
He had some good concrete suggestions that most of the population can well identify with.
Many delegates arrived here still angry at the president's broken no new taxes pledge 2 years ago. His public apology was an instant hit with Wyoming's Grant Larson and others.
He knew it was wrong, he admitted it, and I think he's promised not to do it again, and I for one believe him.
David Dow, CBS News, Houston.
Even before President Bush spoke, the Clinton rebuttal machine blitzed the media with faxes and conference calls, charging the president with more than a dozen outright lies. Bob Oakes has more Democratic reaction.
Clinton deputy campaign manager Betsy Wright said Mr. Bush's plan to cut taxes and freeze over-budget spending may be the most cynical attempt ever by a president to buy an election.
I'm going to quote George Bush himself. After Jimmy Carter in 1980 presented an economic plan, George Bush said, "If this is such a good idea, why wasn't it presented 3.5 years ago?"
To pay for the tax cuts and spending freeze, Wright charges the president will have to cut spending in crucial programs like Social Security and veterans benefits. Bob Oakes for CBS News, Houston.
Today, President Bush steers his revved-up campaign into once safe territory. Rob Armstrong reports.
Mr. Bush still trails, despite a mid-convention bounce in most polls, and the indications are that the area where the election will be won or lost is in the industrial North and Midwest. In the next few weeks, Mr. Bush will cover much of that area, along with cementing his southern stronghold. Today, he starts to campaign in earnest in Gulfport, Mississippi. Then it's on to stops in Missouri, Georgia, Alabama, Texas, and Illinois before heading back to Washington Sunday night. Rob Armstrong, CBS News with the Bush campaign in Houston.
I'm Bill Lynch at the CBS News Convention Desk. Now the World News Roundup continues with Doug Poling.
Economists are giving mixed reviews to the president's tax cut proposal. Liberal George Perry says it won't work because it's taking money from an empty wallet. But conservative John Mueller says it can be financed, and a tax cut is just what the economy needs. Carnage in Sarajevo continues. The big guns rained more shells on the Bosnian capital. Three mortars fell on the city's main boulevard. A witness says three people were killed. Shells also hit a hospital, the government headquarters, and a UN barracks. The United States is said to be seeking a new mechanism to try to end the civil war in the Balkans. Lawrence Eagleburger, who takes over the State Department Sunday, told the New York Times the U.S. next week will press for tighter sanctions against Serbia and Montenegro. Iraq's leader does not think much of the plan by the Gulf War allies, including the United States, to use warplanes to patrol southern Iraqi skies and protect Shiite rebels, Tom Fenton in Baghdad reports.
A spokesman for Saddam Hussein said Iraq will use all available means to resist the Western plan. The defiant statement was issued after a late-night meeting of the top Iraqi leadership. It charged that the West is planning to partition Iraq to create a semi-independent zone in the south like the Kurdish safe haven in the north. The spokesman denied that Iraqi planes have been attacking Shiite rebels in the south, insisting they're being used only for training, reconnaissance, and transportation. Observers note that if Saddam loses control of the south, he will lose his major source of oil revenue. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Baghdad.
Nature is now cooperating a little with firefighters in California's Gold Rush country. Cooler, damper weather has arrived on the heels of the hot, dry conditions that fed a wildfire that's blackened more than 18,000 acres. Lots of human suffering in this one. 14,000 people forced out of their homes. Fred Wayne of San Francisco's KCBS has more.
Home life is now a sleeping bag and a cot, with meals provided by the Red Cross for thousands of evacuees from the fire. Some area residents, like a man known as Bear, watched as their homes went up in smoke.
We were able to get out a few change of clothes. We had two antique Harleys that were there. We got those out. And our car. That's it.
Bear says he lost his most valuable possession, a watch left to him by an uncle. For some of those who lost their homes, the tragedy is compounded by the fact that they were uninsured. Fred Wayne for CBS News at the evacuation center in Angels Camp, Calaveras County.
Prices were sharply higher on the Tokyo Stock Exchange today. The Nikkei average soaring more than 6 points. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials are off to a good start, up about 13 points. And the volume so far this morning, 26,730,000 shares. It is now 10 minutes after the hour.